third day of our retreat, 20th October 2023. So we will continue with the itinerary. So from 1:30 to 3, we're supposed to have this puja followed by breathing by me. Okay. So we'll do the simple puja. Maybe for those who miss the precept, you can follow the puja and renew your precept. Arahang sama sambuto bhagavan bhagavantam abhivadimi vakato bhagavata dhammo dhammam namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sangha Namami. Okay, now we will chant the salutation followed by the three requisites. Then after that, we will continue with the renewal of precepts. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adimadana veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Abrahmacharya veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, musavada veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, suramiraya majjhapamadatana veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. And for those who take precept, you can continue. Vikala bhojana veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Najahita vadita visuka dasana malala ganda vilepayala Ucasayana mahasayana veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Then I will chant the Pali to let you all know the importance of all these precepts. Imani atasikapadani silena sugandhinyanti silena bhogasampadan Silena nipunting yanti tasma sidang svisode. The meaning is, these are the eight precepts. Sila, or virtue, is the source of spiritual happiness. Sila, or virtue, is also the source of true spiritual wealth. Sila and virtue is also the source of true peacefulness of mind. Therefore, let sila, or virtue, be kept and purified. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, sorry, I forgot to recite to you. Together we recite. Imani atta sikapadami samadhiyami. Imani atta sikapadami samadhiyami. Imani atta sikapadani samadhiyami. Okay, then rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all have been seated. Just relax body and mind, then we shall continue from where we stop. Page 46. Item 6, Roman number 6. Tammy, you can continue. Page 46. Item 6.
Page 46, item 6, the danger of having self-delusion and not comprehending what sakkayadity or self-delusion is. 7, importance of using mindfulness to observe and understand how your mind stirs or gets conditioned into mental thinking or activities leading to all the emotions and reactions to sense experiences that condition one's suffering, etc. Via comprehending the famous Mahayana saying of one the arising of mind creates thinking, and stirring of the mind comes to be, or in Theravada terms is avijja paccaya sankhara, ignorant conditioned activities of mind. The first two links of the paccaya-samuppada, dependent origination.
Okay, good. So by now you all should have the understanding already. So number six, just now let me read through. The danger of having self-delusion or sakkayadity, it is very obvious, when you don't comprehend sakkayadity or self-delusion, what will happen is you will deludedly grasp, cling, and hold on to your own five aggregate form and mind, believing you exist, believing that you are a real, permanent, unchanging entity. So you believe the name given to you is you, the form and mind is you, everything you come to experience through your consciousness and its content. They are as real as it can be. Means feeling is real, feeling is you. Perception, thought activity or sankhara activity, consciousness that arises within your own sense bases and form and mind. If you cling on to them, hold on to them via sakkayadity, suffering will be the result. Then I stress the importance of mindfulness to observe and understand how you stir your mind and how you get conditioned into mental activity and thinking. Then the reaction of mind create all the emotion and reaction to sense experience that condition one's suffering. We are comprehending this famous Mahayana saying, Qi xing dong nian. Can you write the Mandarin one? 起心动念。How many of you don't understand Mandarin? Oh, you don't understand, huh? Oh, the rest understand. Qi xing is the arising of mind. Xing is mind. Dong, nian. Dong is movement. Created or conditioned the movement of thought. So this is a very famous Mayana saying that actually can bring forth a lot of wisdom. So the Hanyu pinyin is Xing Dong Nian. So the meaning is okay, as long as people understand so precise for what. It's okay. So here, those who know Mandarin, the meaning will stand up. Qi xing means the arising of your mundane mind. Create one. Nian to, thinking. Understand? So this is equivalent to one. Yeah? Under Theravada tradition. When you are ignorant, when you arise a mind, avijja paccaya sankhara, dong nian is sankhara activity. So this is equivalent to the first tooling of paticca samuppanna, which is avijja paccaya sankhara. So all problem arises from here. Ignorant of what? Ignorant of the Dhamma, the truth. Then ignorant of the human form and mind, thinking that it's self, permanent and changing entity. Then when you grasp and you cling, you create avijja. So from the grasping, you think you exist. You arise the egoic mind, which has a personality. The personality will condition you to have the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Why? Because when you think you exist, you will have craving and desire to own things. True or not? To own things, possess things, have control over things. Then you will have preference. Your like, dislike, attachment, and all those things. So, greed and hatred will be there. And because of ignorance, you will also have delusion. Where you are deluded, you think you exist. You think the form of mind is real. So, avijja paccaya sankhara is the meaning of qi xing dong nian. So, whenever you are not in sati or aware, you create mundane thinking, understand? So when you create mundane thinking, before you become enlightened, this first tooling, avijja paccaya sankhara, will take course. So ignorant contact create what? Yeah? Create ignorant thought, wrong thought, understand? So initially, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana. That pure vijnana, you got no chance to be aware. Yeah, you don't have mindfulness. You cannot be at the moment of consciousness, the pure consciousness. You straight away stir and input the content. You understand? You do your conditioned thinking via your brain, the memory, your accumulated knowledge. And that is the one. Together is sakkaya ditthi. It creates like and dislike, fear, worry, anxiety in you. So that is the entanglement that actually causes dukkha or suffering. Okay? So this note that Tammy just read is a very important reminder of cultivation and the understanding of the essential Dhamma. Okay? So we move on.
Number eight. Originally, before the stirring, the The mind is already in the meditative state of inner peace, silence, and still awareness within. So the stirring of the mind only comes about when we do not have the wisdom and understanding of the fundamental principle of the original or true mind. Then through our own self-delusion or ignorance, we cause our mundane mind to arise, hence the stirring via our reaction to sense experiences at every moment of sense door consciousness. Train the mind to have the silent inner awareness and clarity to see all these clearly. Then there is no more delusion, thereby understanding that if we can just let things be, then there is no more suffering or problem. And with this understanding, tranquility will return by not trying to do anything that.
So the key word is by not trying to do anything. Understand not? We are what? Using the thought, understand now. You develop thought-based meditation again means you use the thought to note and to meditate and to do all the funny things. So this thought will actually condition you to suppress and control the wrong thought. But to you are not meditating. You still have fear, you still have worry, anxiety, anger. So you say these are evil roots, negative mind state. Wrong, you don't want them. So what you do? You try to use the thought to control the emotion, suppress the emotion. That's why a lot of people say, I'm a cultivator, I must not get angry, I must not have fear, I must not have greed, I must not have craving. All this is what your thought tells you. Thought is knowledge, not wisdom. You cannot act out of it. You cannot reuse that knowledge to live life. That's why it's a big difference. Wherever you inside the phenomena, awaken through the silent mind or awareness nature within to observe all this and see it clearly, then awaken to the understanding. And that one is wisdom, nothing to do with the knowledge. That one immediately your mind liberate and free. No need to let go, no need to do anything, no need to suppress or control. Then I say, i.e., that is, just be patient to maintain the silent mind with clear inner awareness and let everything return to its original state before it's stirring. Like I said, the third way, be with whatever emotion that arises. Then the fourth support, I advise you, relax. Relax into every mind state that arises. Remember? Relax body and mind. So the third way is relax into every mind state that arises. Anger arise, fear arise, insecurity or whatever, negativity of mind state. Be aware of it, stay with it. Then let it cease. Then you realize the moment that emotion ceases, because it's dependent originating, no more condition for it to arise, the original mind returns, the true mind, the tranquility, the stillness, the awareness nature before the stirring, they return. And when it returns, you experience the peace within. So this silent mind with clear inner awareness, yeah, is very powerful. So use it to cultivate. So when you are able to develop the silent mind with clear awareness, to observe everything without reacting, means to let things be and allow everything to return this original state before the stirring. Then always remember, when there is no ignorance or delusion, then there is no stirring of mind. Hence, having the understanding that only wisdom free the mind. That is the moment you have wisdom, when this yoni so manasikara from you, your mind will not stir, and you will be free, and you are free. So no need to do anything after that because things are just the way they are. Suchness, ta-ta-ta. The reality within the moment. Okay? All this has been explained earlier on. Now it's in writing. You can read through slowly. Use your marker pen or highlight pen to highlight whatever words that is important to you. Okay? So next, let me.
Not
oh, read the note. Read the note. Sorry.
Notes, okay. Note. Ta means past in Sanskrit and Pali. And Buddhists think this refers to what is called reality as it is. Yatha Bhuta. This reality is also referred to as tasness or suchness and tatata in Pali, indicating what is or the isness of things. A Buddha or an Arahant is defined as someone who knows and sees reality as it is. Yatha Buddha Jnana Dasana Gata God is the past passive participle of the verbal root gam, go, travel. Agata comes in the past passive participle of the verb meaning come, arise. Thus, in this interpretation, Tathagata means literally either the one who has gone to suchness or the one who has arrived at suchness.
So once he has realized suchness or reached suchness, which means he is an expert in suchness. That's why the Buddha is called the Tathagata. You know what is Tathagata? They use that word to mean the Buddha. But what is Tathata? It's suchness. So Tathagata means expert in suchness. That's why that name Tathagata is very important. They come from the word Tathata, suchness. Okay? Now, then, next.
Page 47, part 2, Heart Sutta, lesson 7, 2.1. The Bodhisattva, through reliance on Prajnaparamita, is impeded in his mind. Because there are no impediments, he is not afraid, and he leaves distorted dream thinking far behind. Ultimately, nirvana. Here, distorted dream thinking means delusion, condition, inverted thinking. That is, taking the unreal to be real, and vice versa. The verse is so beautiful. 2.2. All Buddhas of the three periods of time attain Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi through reliance of Prajnaparamita. Therefore, know that Prajnaparamita is a great spiritual mantra, a great bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequaled mantra. It can remove all suffering. It is genuine and not false. That is why the mantra of Prajnaparamita was spoken. Recite it like this: Gate Gate Para Gate Para Sam Gate Bodhi Swaha. Here, Prajnaparamita means the perfection of wisdom cultivation, and Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi means the perfection of Buddhahood. This is even more beautiful. 2.3. True emptiness is wonderful existence. Therefore, in emptiness, there is no form, feeling, perception, mental activities or consciousness, no eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body or mind, no sight, sound, smell, taste, tactile and mental form, no feel of the eye up to and including no feel of mind consciousness, and no ignorance or ending of ignorance up to and including no old age and death or ending of old age and death. There is no suffering, no cause of arising of suffering, no extinction of suffering, and no noble eightfold way, and no understanding and attaining. This verse appears like very contradictory to normally taught Dharma, hence the beauty and uniqueness of the Heart Sutra. Reason why it is always expressed that true emptiness is wonderful existence. This is when one is able to understand the profound true emptiness as taught in the Heart Sutra. Then existence or life becomes wonderful and very meaningful and beautiful. Hence, there is no contradiction because on the one side is taught the conditioned Dharma within the conditioned world. Then there is the realization of the unconditioned Dharma, which is the understanding of true emptiness as taught by the Heart Sutra. The unconditioned Dharma as explained by the Buddha is beyond thought and beyond time. Hence, no words, no concepts, no ideas, and no this and no that, which imply cannot be spoken or expressed like the great Tao.
So now the explanation is there, very clear. As I earlier on, before we start, I say you listen attentively, don't try to make note. Yeah, everything is in the Heart Sutta short notebook. So whatever topic, whatever answer you want, you refer to the text. Yeah. But this book you can mark, highlight, no problem. Yeah. So whatever you don't understand, you read again and again, then you will understand. But if you meditate, develop the awareness, you understand faster, clearer. Okay? Next, part three.
Part 3 Meditation 3.1 Review on compilation of emails, understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Brother Teo conducted a review on the compilation of emails notes as written by him to various Buddhist groups and Dharma friends in the early years with the title Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. So as to enable the cultivators of the Buddha Dharma to have a better understanding of the key important Dharma as constantly emphasized by the Buddha. They are 1. Importance of understanding Dhammapada verse 1, 2 and 183. Verses 21, 22, 23 and the Buddha's final advice to all the monks before his final parinibbana. These verses are classified under the words of wisdom of the Buddha immediately after the content, introduction, and acknowledgement section. 2. The importance of understanding the true significance of the Four Noble Truths as expressed by the Buddha as the equivalent to the handful of leaves as emphasized by him at Kosambi in the Simsapa Grove over 2,500 years ago to the monks. This is to enable them to stay focused in their cultivation. Otherwise, the chances of deviation are very high and probable. 3. The importance of understanding what is meditation as explained under email number 2 and 3. 4. The importance of developing the three types of corresponding wisdom of Sutta Maya Panya, Chinta Maya Panya, Bhavana Maya Panya that will arise while cultivating the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha via his first sermon, the Dhamma Cakkappavattana Sutta. Email number 4.
Okay, so this one is very beautiful. Eh? You can retrieve this ebook from our website, brodeo.com. Then you want a hard copy, You can request for me in my house. I think I still have some. So you refer to that book. The email compilation are all there. So that was during the early years when the various Buddhist organizations all over the world, I think. The main one are our Malaysian site, Kalimita. Then later on, there is this website in America where the abbot of the monastery, I think he passed away recently. You all heard of Venerable Vimalamsi? He has a center in, I think, US. Then he teach the 6 R. So there were encounter during the early years. So that time I got nothing to do. I logged into the website. Then I saw this website. Then I want to know what they are discussing and what actually go on within the Buddhist community overseas. So when I log in, they allow me to register. Then in the midst of it, somebody, I think his disciple, asked something. Then this Venerable, I think at that time he tried to answer him. After he answered him, then he himself wrote on the website, you know, he said that 2 words that were asked by that student, actually the meaning very close. So, I forgot what word is it. He asked, anybody who can understand, please help explain now. So because there was a request, so I explained. So after I explained, wow, there were like immediate hoo-ha because they haven't heard of this type of explanation and Dhamma before. Then at that time, I think the Venerable also, like, he, with his own limited understanding, he tried to like say certain things. Then I reply back. After I reply back, I think he somehow didn't have the mindfulness and awareness. Then he reacted. Then he like indirectly replied to tell me off in a certain way. Then I find it funny. Then I reply. I say, please, I'm not here to act or do anything. Then you ask for whoever who know to clarify. That's why I clarify. I say, otherwise I wouldn't interfere in all this thing. Then after that, the way I explain, I think one of the lady disciple that he has, I forgot the name, Venerable one, he also passed away recently. So she knew something not really. So she like wanted to resolve the issue amicably. So try to put it in a nice way. Because a lot of them, the other people who participate, when they read that, two or three of them, one from India and one from the Europe there, you know, they wrote to me, hey, Mr. Teo, I like your answer. I say, can we have a separate session? I said, email. He said, I want to learn from you. I said, no, Bhante's teaching is very good. Please, don't create this type of thing. Then after that, I explained it in a way that is so clear. You know? But it's so many years ago, I also cannot remember what other things. Then what happened was, he like got caught up, understand? But as an abbot, as a monk, he find it very difficult to lo tai, lock toy. What is the English word?
Amor. Amor.
To like come out of the situation, come out of the situation. So what he did was, he said, I also have disciples who do my 6R, then they also achieve this and this and this. Then I realized the only way to let him step, just now I used the word one, come out of the situation. I replied, yeah, if you understand, if you know how to do, what you describe is possible, is it? Wow, after that, the lady disciple that assists him on, straight away excitedly replied, oh, very good, very good. I think no problem already, resolved already. Then after that, very funny, I think the venerable was not around. Then the disciple, they all discuss among themselves. They cannot understand. You go and read that book. You will find it very interesting. Then I reply, read the email. So when I reply, actually, I use a Theravada teaching. Then, of course, there is a little bit of Mahayana teaching there. So when he came back, he straight away wrote, yeah, this one is my teaching, is it? Yeah. You all believe in no such thing. So I kept quiet. Then after that, I replied in a manner that he knew I know a lot of things, I understand a lot of things. Then you know what he did? After the thing resolved, he wrote me a personal email. He asked me, who is your teacher? How you learn all this teaching and all those things? Then what I share with him, I said, life itself is the greatest teacher. Nature is our greatest teacher. Wow, he replied, I also have the same understanding. Then after that, we become good friends. So a lot of these things happen. Then there's another case. My student, PK, also civil engineer, older than me. He joined my class, and he was with Babson. Then later on, BU Buddhist Society, Babs. Then later on, they heard about me in Chempaka. They come and attend my class. Then after attending my class, his son is in US, I think a doctor specialist or what. Then he visit him very often. Then in US there, near the place where the son stay, they got a group of Dhamma practitioner, the American people, Masala. So they were having a workshop. Then suddenly, the monk that's supposed to teach that workshop couldn't attend because of certain circumstances. So PK talked to them. He said he cannot attend. Don't worry, I got my teacher in Malaysia. I asked him to write you a paper and discuss in the workshop. He wrote to me. Then I said, can I? I wrote him a paper, a short paper. Then he presented to them. That's why the email is inside the book. You can read it inside. So the email is very exciting because a lot of people don't understand. So in that email compilation, a lot of the teaching is all there. These were the early years. I think I forgot the year already. You go and check. The early years. That time, you all, the group, all haven't started yet. Then, I remember that email. Later on, I think, Mi Fong and Sui Ai came to know. So I forward to them. I don't know whether Mi Fong and Sui Ai still have the email or not. We are this month, we will see last time, help Sui An out of the depression when the early years, he go and stay in his house. He was, I think, at AJBA. Before AJBA. So Sui An also happened to know him. And this American monk, before he was a monk, he was a lay person. And when I met him, I met him in Brakefield. So that time very strange. He went to Burma. He do the Vipassana permission 20 over years. After that, he went to Brakefield. Then he get to know me. Then it so happened I went to my teacher's Katina in Australia. Australia, 1992, I remember. 1992. He also went, no. Then I met him there. How come you are there? Then he was listening to this teacher, Ajayantra. Then he also know my teacher's teacher, the Buddha Dasa, the Swamok one, Surat Thani. Very famous monk. Then he discussed with me. He said, this Anapanasati, he said, my teacher and Achamura, both also Anapanasati expert. So he said, this Anapanasati, the Buddha Dasa wrote a book, The 16 Tetra of Anapanasati, means to prove that it matched with the four foundation of mindfulness. So he looked at that thing. Then he discussed with me. He said, what do you think, Mr. Teo? I said, it's beautiful, that teaching. He said, but I wasted 20 years doing the Vipassana. Honestly. And he really put in a lot of effort. No? He meditated day in, day out. No? Before he became a monk, he said, he told me at the age of 35, I invited him to my house, Dana, after that. He told me he was successful in career and he was a contractor, if I'm not wrong. He made his million, million US, not ringgit. Then because of that, he said he decided to become a monk because the urge was there. But he very funny, he got a good friend to look after his money, was it? And the good friend became his kapia. The others. So when he need money, he wrote email. So it was something that was really interesting. Then later on, he went back. He wrote his own book, Anapanasati, and come out with his understanding, the 6 hour, all those things. Then he started off that new monastery in U.S. That's why after that, the website came out. Then I happened to like Google, then I joined. That's how all these things happen. Sometimes it's a small one. Then you meet out. Then a lot of people all over the world, after my website come out, they wrote to me. Dhamma is like that. When you have something that those who have the affinity and understanding, they listen. They know you are different. No rope, nothing, they don't mind. They wrote to me personally. Oh, they asked very beautiful questions. Then the way I answer them, very simple. Yeah. So there were a lot of such encounters and occasions. So this book, what I want you to know, go and look for it, you can. Then you go through. These are the initial book that I actually wrote in the email. Then the Kayamita at that time saw it was so beautiful, so useful. They said, Brother Teo, why not we extract out all the email and compile into a book? That's how it came about. Then the Dhammapada verse, all the saying word of wisdom, is what I every time repeatedly teach you all. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, verse 21, 22, 23. Dhammapada verse 183. Then the final advice of the Buddha before his birth. These are the key essence, most important Dhammapada verse that you need to have understanding before you can penetrate and cultivate his teaching. Otherwise, the whole Tipitaka, I tell you, Dhammapada verses 423, you go and read, you also confused, don't know where to look for Dhamma. But the Dhammapada verses are all very beautiful. So if you have the understanding, you read the Dhammapada It really stand out. It really stand out. Evergreen one. No? Do you know what is evergreen? No? Like the English song, evergreen one. No? Don't like become obsolete one. No? Any era, any civilization, people can get interested in that song. No? So here, the Buddha one is even more fantastic. The truth that he wrote, 423, you know, Dhammapada, evergreen, stand up to investigation anytime, you know. Until today, 2,000 over 600 years, and nobody can prove him wrong. I ask you to come out with one truth, not to copy his. You cannot. That will stand up forever. Not easy unless you have that type of understanding. Yeah. But his teaching is based on Dhamma, nature, truth. That's why under the 10 perfection that he actually cultivated, you know, the one that he specialized in and perfected until very, very complete is structure. That's why when he teach, he always teach invoke power of truth. By the power of this truth, may victory be yours. By the power of this truth, whatever. He teach Angulimala also same. By the power of this truth, ever since I was born as a noble being, born into the noble life, I have never violated this precept. Then may arise a cause and condition for the mother and the fetus to have a safe birth. So all this is the power of truth in the self. Think people know Jaya Mangala Sutta and all the things. There is this rejoicing. Itena Satya Vachina. Sorry, not that. What? Jaya Mangala. Towards the end. The power of truth. Itena Satya Vachina. Hotute, Jaya Mangala. So in the chanting book you can find. So he expert in arising the power of truth. Actually, power of truth is part of nature's law. No? He know how to invoke it, it's very accurate. But I like to invoke the power of wholesomeness. When I observe, I see Kayamita who has wholesomeness. Then when they got problem, if they know how to contact me, then I will know how to invoke power of their own merits for causes and conditions for whatever their loved one or whatever situation for them to recover. And it's so potent, very powerful. Yeah. This is part of nature's law. When you understand nature's law, you know how to arise all this. Okay, so hopefully with this, you can have the faith and the understanding. Okay, next page, Tammy.
Thank you. The spelling correction, please. Roman number 4, second line. Sutta Maya Panya.
Oh, okay, okay.
One T only.
Yeah.
S-U-T-A only.
S-U-T-A, Okay. Okay. Sui can take note of it. Sutta is one T on it, not two T on it. Oh, hearing, yeah, sutta, yeah. Yeah, sutta is a discourse, yeah, thank you, yeah. Okay, chapter 8.
Page 50, 8 Sutra class 1.1. Can you teach me how to meditate? Question 1.
When I started teaching, since the year 2004, a lot of people ask me this question. Vithi, can teach me how to meditate? What do you think? Yeah? Logical, yeah. You don't know how to meditate, you want somebody to teach you how to meditate. Then how you teach? Yeah? How you teach? Just answer me lah. No, you see, the question is the wrong question, understand? Can you teach me how to meditate? Because it's a logical question. Monday people always say, I want to learn meditation. I need somebody to teach me. Just I need a teacher. I approach a teacher. But you know how gullible I am. Why you ask that question? What you should ask is, can you explain to me what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha? Understand? When I know what is the meditation, then I can learn from people or I learn myself. But instead of asking, what is meditation, you go and ask, can you teach me meditation? Means what? Like you have a problem, okay? You have a problem, let's say. But that problem is not specific. It's something like you heard meditation. You learn meditation, everybody got different reason or no behind. Some, they got problem, they want to meditate. Some, they have spiritual urge, they want to be enlightened. Then some, they want to learn all this so that they can become famous, they can teach and they can all that. So different people, different. Then meditation is a very loose word. Anything that involves the training of the mind is meditation. But what I teach is Buddhist meditation. So if you want all the other type of meditation, then please, energy field, all you, no need to ask me, don't ask me, because I don't teach those type of meditation. So it's like a person who has a problem, but the problem, he don't quite understand what is the problem. It's like the word meditation, he don't quite understand, very loose word. Then he said, can you help me solve my problem? I want to learn meditation to solve my problem. You don't want to know what is your problem, no. You want to learn meditation to solve your problem, no. Is it possible? It's impossible. No? First, you want to solve your problem. You want to know what your problem is, isn't it? Then work on it and resolve it, isn't it? It's the same. You don't know what is meditation. You want to learn meditation. You ask people to teach you meditation. You are just being gullible. No, no, no. Then you end up what? Gullible. People ask you to note, you note. People ask you to sit, you sit. People ask you to don't move, you don't move. Sometimes I go to retreat, they so scared of making sound or noise or create unnecessary attention or movement. They torture themselves down there. You know. They're not more. Sometimes want to fart also, they're not fart. You know. So miserable. So when you don't understand, you end up like that. Then, like Bing Lim, at least he told me, he shared with me last time. He became very confused after he attended the retreat or what is it. For 6-7 days, he don't know what he's doing. That he feel miserable. Yeah. Then when he saw my, I don't know, book or video, I forgot it. Mind map. That mind map. Then he said, everything explained clearly. You know. Oh, then he can follow. You know. Then he know what he's doing. You know, in the name of meditation and learning the number. So, if you don't have the understanding, how can you teach? You also become gullible because you heard from people, your teacher or your guide teach you method technique, you also introduce method technique. Then now, the attention is not on heedfulness. You realize the Buddhist meditation, especially Theravada, the emphasis is on what? Method technique teacher, understand? It's no more heedfulness. So most of the time, the teaching degenerate and become different from the original, authentic Buddha's word and teaching. So over the years, you actually can see for yourself. It's just like science and technology. If they have got the understanding of the nature's law, scientific law, that governs life, then scientists progress. You know. Last 4 decades, we progress so fast, you know, we break through so many fields. You know. So Dhamma is the same, isn't it? If the teaching is still the same, as potent as during the Buddha's time, now should be more and more enlightened beings, isn't it? True or not? Just like science, you keep on progressing. But how come you now see the degeneration? Then people talk about Dharma ending age and all those things. Then there is some book I remember somebody passed me in the early 80s. I think written by the Theravada tradition. They say nowadays you want to find an Arya, even a Sotapan, also very, very rare. Oh, it ends up like that. So during the Buddha's time, suddenly 500, 1,000, all Arahant. Initially five. Now it has become a state that you can hardly find even a Sotapan. And this is written by authority and famous people. So you observe that through your own understanding, you will know if it's the truth, is still potent, authentic, like what the Buddha passed down, then there should be a lot more enlightened being. But how come we are not seeing it? Through this inquiry, you will know how to investigate. Then do not be gullible anymore. So this one, let Tammy read, then you will understand.
Question 1. Can you teach me how to meditate? Brother Teo replied, this is the most common question, but also the most common mistake, because it is a wrong question to ask. When you ask this question, you expect the teacher or instructor to give you a method and a technique to meditate, right? And this sounds very logical, isn't it? But what is a method? It is only a series of instructions to do certain things right, like training the mind to be mindful and heedful so that it is in the present moment, silent, peaceful, and aware within, or to train the mind to develop concentration, etc. And more often than not, the method or technique taught never defines the meditation. So isn't it more important to understand what is meditation? Only then do we know how to develop it. So whatever that appears logical may not necessarily be the truth or right question to ask. Note, unless you understand what meditation is, you will not be able to develop it. All methods and techniques given are only an initial skillful means meant to help train the mind to be heedful or in concentration. They are only a series of instructions given to initially train the mind so that it is not heedlessly lost in thought or preoccupied with what it is thinking or feeling. The purpose of meditation is to train the mind to be heedful, then to use it to see things as they are, to develop the wisdom and to understand how the five mental hindrances can hinder your mind from returning to its original state of silent inner awareness and peace before its stirring. Do not fight the mental hindrances or force it to go away, but instead just develop the corresponding five virtual faculties of mind, especially sati and samadhi, as taught by the Buddha, to arise the wisdom to counter them. For the Dharma is beyond thought and beyond time. Heedfulness is without thought, hence without psychological time. Brother Teo always advises us to diligently cultivate the five spiritual faculties because they are key to the development of the 37 factors of enlightenment. They appear twice within the 37 factors of enlightenment.
Enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. Enlightenment. Mm-hmm. 1.2. Can chanting itself bring about enlightenment? Question 2. What about those who believe in chanting? Can chanting itself bring about enlightenment? Brother Chiu replied, yes, it can. Provide you know how to chant with very strong faith.
Okay, wait. Before we go into the answer, who want to try to answer that question? Can chanting brings about enlightenment? What is your understanding? Anybody want to try? The Mahayana chant a lot. Pure Land also chant a lot. But Devada also chant a lot. They chant different things. They chant the Paritta. So, whereas the Theravada or the Mahayana, what do they chant? The Buddha's name, understand? And all the sutra, Mahayana sutra. So, Theravada, they chant different things. They don't create affinity with great beings and all those things. They just chant the sutta. You see the big difference. That's why to them, chanting alone, without cultivation, without practice, you cannot gain enlightenment, awakening. And you can't blame them for having that view because their tradition is like that. But do you know Mahayana, when they do their chanting, it's not chanting paritta, understand? Chanting the Buddha's name to create the affinity, understand? To mesh with their vow. Because the Bodhisattva way is different. They have the four basic vow of the Bodhisattva, to walk the Bodhisattva path. Then they have miscellaneous additional vow which they evolve and develop themselves through their wisdom, understanding, and perfection. And this is how they actually help the limitless cultivator of the way to progress, to actually seek the Bodhisattva way, to realize the supreme vehicle, to be Sammasambuddha. That is the big difference. So, not understanding this, you simply comment, you get into trouble. So luckily at that time, those who come, actually the question was all very good. Then the way I answer, you see for yourself, whether you can understand and agree to it or not. Okay, Tammy, now you answer.
Brother Teo replied, yes, it can, provided you know how to chant with very strong faith, clear mindfulness and understanding, for it can also bring about the cultivation of the five spiritual faculties of mind, sadha, viriya, sati, samadhi and panya, leading to the enlightenment. So don't be rigid or dogmatic to simply comment when you still cannot understand other people's practices or cultivation, especially those of the Mahayana and the Pure Land tradition. Their Buddhas and their great Bodhisattvas vows are very powerful, and they can help those who are sincere to connect to their vows, enabling them to develop their cultivation so much faster. Whatever you do in life, and if you know how to develop it with understanding, then it can bring about a transformation too. For life itself is the meditation, that the cultivation of the daily mindfulness, which is the cultivation of Sati Sampajanya. 1.3.
Yes. Yeah, the mind.
Radio.
Yes.
On the 27th of every month, Chinese calendar, this Vaina monastery, they actually do a Guanyin repentance puja.
Yes.
Okay. So they have like many monks to do the same thing. And then they chant the Tafei Zhou, they also chant the Bo Hao. So they do the repentance, you know, they take the three refuge as well. So the chanting is about like 1 hour plus of that. Okay, after the chanting, they will distribute the water, you know, to the devotees that want to have the water. So I took the water, okay? And because the reason is they said that is supposed to help heal heal your sickness, lah. So okay, so I took the drink. My friend went there before I went, so she told me that the water can heal you, lah. So actually, she said you try it yourself, lah, then you will know.
Yeah.
So actually, I tasted the water, the water tastes different, you know.
Yeah.
It is not like the normal water that you drink, you know. So I just wondering how come the water takes.
No, because the vibration.
The vibration, right?
You already know the scientist, the Japanese scientist, he actually put underneath the microscope all the various water samples he collected from the forest, from very high up nature, not polluted and all things. Then some in the city, very polluted, very noisy. Then some in the church environment, in the temple environment, in all the various environments. Then he realized the one that is not polluted in nature within the mountain or what, the crystal come out very beautiful, full of harmony and all those things. Whereas the one in the city one, distorted one, like mutated one, like the cell has mutated, like cancer cell, like that one. Whereas the other one, very beautiful. So in the church where the hymn chanting and all those things, and a lot of love and all those things, then people do their prayer, all those things. Then Buddhist temple also same, where people do their Sunday service or whatever, or certain type of activity that involve meditation and all. The crystal are very beautiful. Then 80% of our body is liquid, anasana, mainly liquid water. So if you every day think the wrong thought, create all this negative energy, you know what happened to your water crystal? It will be like the one in the city with a lot of negative vibration and pollution. That one will mutate, anasana. Then your crystal is not the normal beautiful crystal. That's why they develop what they call cancer. They call it cancer. Yeah, it's a mutation of the cell. The cell has mutated, become abnormal. So all this, scientists already proven that it's possible. So when we meditate, when we do awareness-based meditation, our energy is different. The vibration is different. Then when you develop wisdom, that wisdom energy again different. Then throughout the day, you are mindful, aware, and have the Dhamma, you have very little negativity, understand? So most of the time, your body is different one, because the liquid inside there. That's why people without stress, they seldom have traumatic disease like cancer and all those things. You know, right? People who have cancer, most of them have stress on mental problem and all those things. Not enough rest and all those things. So what you mentioned is because sometimes we start day also same. They got this all night chanting, everything. They put the water bottle all there. Then after that, we start day a few days before they will have devotee go there, help fill up the water. Then the monk will continue the chanting there. Then on Vishak Day, he gives to you. But your one is different because that one is a Fa Hui. Guan Yin, some repentant.
Ta
Pei Sui, I know, but the Fa Hui is called Guan Yin repentant, is it? Ta Pei Chan. Ta Pei Chan. We also donate to here, Sampo Temple.
What I want to say is, I have drink a lot of so-called water, blessed water from the temple. This is the first time I drink the blessed water from the Kuomintang, the repentance. That is so different, brother.
You will taste it and you will know, because how many days they do?
Actually, it's just one day only, brother.
One day, but it's the consecration big?
Quite big, yes. By maybe 20 people or that.
20. I know, 20 only.
Monks is like about 20. Then there are a lot of devotees that do the chanting.
Oh, okay. Because a lot of Maya temple, they do all this pathway. Then the meditate. Like here, do you know that Teng Xiao Sufu used to give to us Kayamita? A lot of all those, what they call, They put there, in Honang Siya, make Ta Pei Zhou or what? Surang Kama Su Ta Leng Yan Jing. They put inside there, go through the chanting and the whatever, Then after that, they give to devotee or those who have supported them and those they know have faith in the Dhamma, they give to us. And then the previous abbot, there was 1 year, you remember, he saw us conducting the retreat. He wanted to cheer yen with us. He gave us this, you remember? I got 2 left. I don't know who are the lucky ones. I can give it away. So this one also after the chanting, understand? So whether you understand or TK, you want? Huh? You want? You want come? Take one. No, no. Huh? Where you point? Come. Because you have the condition. This one can help you, give you faith and all things. One more. Maybe I give the Jayantas Mandala. Where is the Jayantas Mandala? Oh, I give the Jayantas Mandala. Okay. Do I still have one more? Oh, God. Jiwei, you have it. Our Akong must give one. Yeah. This is the most soothing. Slowly, slowly. Yeah. You all can rejoice.
As you know, I'm English at, I totally don't know Chinese. But then I did mention to Brother Teo in my course early journey, then I kind of have affinity with the Buddhist Sabha. So I'd like to just mention, I think we have gone through also like the Heart Sutra, which mentioned about the Prajna Paramita is the most profound, perfect. You know, these are vows which is by, of course, Kuan Yin Pusa. And basically, all the Buddhist Savas, when they take this route to be Buddhist Savas, route to be fully enlightened Buddha, they make these vows. Of course, these great beings, these have perfected the vows. So when they make the vows, it's without any total, what they call, infinite compassion with infinite wisdom. It's extremely powerful, extremely great. And the reason is that when we also make this vow, because I realized this the time I mentioned when I was doing my bypass, my wife passed me this.
Yeah.
You should
make
any of those vows. I said, how can some beings make this kind of vow? Like, it's almost impossible to save all beings in the hell.
Yeah,
but then I listened to that, then I kind of understand, really, you know, that time. This vow is that simple. Anyone here, any beings who basically just, that's why I said, if you're able to recite the name of the Buddha, Kuan Yin, or even to see the image, is why is because of the great vows. Their vows is so powerful that once you make this vow, That is the great intention that is to help human all the beings. So these vows, when we make these vows sincerely, just having look at Buddha in the heart, we make this vow. It's like taking a refuge that means I pass Namo is that I pass my life to you. You please help me. So it's connected. So what they do is that they know already, and it's of course it's timeless. They know when is the right time. Best time. Just like for instance, myself, I make this vow every day. And I believe because of my vows, I wanted to get a teacher who is English, who is also no Mahayana, because I got one who's Mandarin and Chinese. But yeah. When I want to refer and request, I couldn't because I just couldn't. But when I listen, I get this divine message, you know. So that's why. To me, I feel why I able to meet Brother Teo. When I saw his YouTube, I thought English, and then Theravada, you talk about Hasutra, was surprised me. That's why I went into it. So, believe it, when we just sincerely, you know, sincerely, just Namo Amitabha or Namo Kwansin Busa, Namo Tabi, Asus Busa, all these things, they listen to you already. Because that is their vow. Their vow is that they will never let anybody off. Once you make this vow, they won't let you off, no. It's like you don't have to look for them, they look for you, no. But just that, it has to be the right time. What happened is that it's not just that they save you like this, you know. They will find an opportunity for you to meet the teacher. The teacher will teach you the Dharma. So that you get a Dharma, then you cultivate, you help yourself. But you need to meet a good Dharma teacher, you need to meet a Dharma. You know, at the right what they call the affinity, and then the what they call this condition. So this is what they do, the energy which is they are all around us. You don't have to call them. Once you, in your heart, you make this kind of aspiration, they'll be always with you.
Okay, good. Thank you. Maybe I summarize it in a clearer manner so that you understand what they are trying to share with you. He has affinity from the past with certain great beings. That's why at the time, life and death, he went through a bypass 8 years ago. Was it
11 years?
11 years ago. Life and death. And he is older than me. How old are you now? 65, younger than me. Younger than Sri Anas. But,
three days, three nights, suffering.
Then,
On the one on my left, after 3 hours operation, push in again, cut again.
Yeah.
I was the only one doesn't feel anything, but my wife saw me, she was in tears because it's all the pain and everything.
Yeah.
Because I was listening to
That's why what he tried to explain to you, like I explained, their vows are so unique and perfect in the sense that they have the cultivation, the perfection. So that limitless wisdom, virtue enable them to make this vow until it become part of nature's law. Like I told you, Kuan Yin don't have to manifest everywhere to answer your prayer or whatever. But their vow say, whomsoever who sincerely recite her four how or call upon her to whatever affinity, you may just like recite Namo Kwansing Pusa or Namo Amitabha or just pay respect. And that is affinity. Once the affinity is there, there will be a response. And how the response works is within nature's condition. So sometimes you have affinity in Kuan Yin. Kuan Yin will send you to those cultivator of the way that they have before, trained before. Like I say, I seek Kuan Yin's blessing, protection and guidance. And the affinity is very strong. And because of that, when my nature arises, whomsoever have affinity with Kuan Yin, they will come. Not all, only those that have affinity with Kuan Yin and my nature, then you will come. And I realize a lot of you all come because of Kuan Yin. You somehow got affinity with Kuan Yin. Otherwise, you won't be here. Then, this is what the Mahayana cultivation is all about. The Bodhisattva vow that evolve and transform all these beings into great beings as Sammasambuddha, they are ever relating their nature towards the cultivator of the way. So if you are the cultivator of the way, you have affinity that even by paying one respect, good enough, it already created the affinity. And this affinity is what you need because of their vow. Like Bing Lim says, their vow is, they will help you, understand? Because if you develop this affinity, there will be a response. And the response, they don't go come personally and go and respond. No, nature's law. It will just develop by itself. That's why when I say I request Kuan Yin's protection, blessing and guidance, it doesn't mean every life I come, Kuan Yin must come to me. No. But the manifestation, Kuan Yin's nature is everywhere. You remember in the Maya teaching, Buddha nature? One of the monk who is already enlightened, no, he was in the temple. So the Norwick doesn't know. So one day this monk spit somewhere. No. Then the Norwick monk scolded him. No. Said, how can you be so disrespectful? This is a way play. You simply spit here and there. And then the monk asked him back, tell me where can I spit where there is no Buddha nature? Then Norwick monk stunned. Because the whole of the oneness, the Buddha nature is there. Buddha nature is the oneness nature. Understand? No? So when you don't understand, ah, Sister Song, right? Something for you. Come. This is the last one. This is from the late abbot of this temple. With the chanting, the tapicho, everything ready. This will bless you. Take care. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. So having all this understanding will actually make you different. That's why wherever you go, have you got anything to lose by paying respect? Nothing, yeah. And paying respect got so much benefit we went through already. You remember? Meritorious action. We have reverential salutation. One of the 10 meritorious actions. You cultivate affinity with great being. You develop so much wholesomeness. You develop humility, humble yourself, cultivate mindfulness of bowing. And you like very egoic now. How can I, PhD holder, degree holder, university student, bow to statue? They call it idol worshiping. Yeah, they don't know. They know, I tell you. You ask them to pay money also, they will bow. But because they don't know. So for us, cultivator of the way, we have this condition and understanding. Do not miss any opportunity or condition. Wherever you can do, you should do. Even for me, I may have the understanding every day. Actually, I don't need to do all this. But when there is condition, I still do. Because this is what nature is. Understand? And respect is basic virtue. And it's a very beautiful virtue. Yeah. So sometimes, gratitude, compassion, contentment, all these are great virtue. Then you keep your precept well. It's a purifying force. No? If you keep your precept well, you will be well protected. No? And your precept is a purifying force. Yeah, the Buddha says, sila samadhi panya. When you have sila, condition to develop samadhi so much easier, where you have less problem. Then when samadhi is there, wisdom will arise. That's why sila, samadhi, panya, wisdom. So all these are basic understanding. So don't underestimate simple basic virtue. Virtue is the actual understanding. Whatever cultivation you do, you meditate, you become enlightened or what, whatever happens will transform you only when you have the wisdom. So without real wisdom, there is no real virtue. You understand that? So if a person has virtue, means he has wisdom already. That's like a very small thing. You may think it's a small thing. Pay respect. Why we pay respect to the Tangxia, Bhajan Sifu? Because you created this affinity that is conditioned. If you don't come out of retreat, there is no condition. And you think so easy to develop this type of affinity and condition. No. Then you can pay respect to all the great beings, nature, the images. Yeah? Then together we can do all this. Then you can ask Song. I don't know whether he willing to share. He said the great being, I think first day or second day? Second day. First day and second day. A lot of these great being statue, they got this crystal here. He can see, you know, they were illuminating or shining, like very bright, keep on coming up. And so many of it, in the great hall there, Virochana, Fuxian, and Wen Su. Then Junti there also. Then Maitreya Saiti. So those who have the ability to understand, to see and understand all this, they have a lot of joy. And this is what nature is, understand? Nature occurrences. It's nothing to do with special ability, psychic, you attack. No. When you train yourself, you have this ability to be sensitive and you can see, means you can see. But it gives you faith, understand? It doesn't make you more egoic. Like he shared with me the time, he said, you have so much joy, thank you so much. I said, what happened? Oh, I said, everywhere, fa guang, fa liang. On, keep on happening. So this is what condition and affinity is all about. When you can have the condition to be here, you can never imagine how much wholesomeness you have developed after you finish this retreat. Even attending one lecture or one sharing, the merits you cannot find one. You can cultivate, go and do all the thought base for maybe a few centuries, 100 years, centuries, a few hundred years. You can never have this type of merit, I can tell you. Because you lie down and can develop a pure thought, you know that merit is limitless. That is a pure thought, no? And a pure thought, the wholesomeness, cannot compare. That's why when you know this type of meditation, sometimes you don't blame them. They cannot be like drawn to here and do dana, there do dana, make offering here. They cannot do already unless there is condition. Because all this is within the worldly condition. When you are still worldly, when you are still a practitioner, you need all this. What the fifth patriarch call tinted merit, asana. No harm, do. The more you have, at least merits, understand? You don't become heedless and create all the negative thought process where there is karmic entanglement. So, as you develop the cultivation, as you attend all this retreat, you develop your own understanding. Then the Bodhisattva way, the great being's nature, or sometimes it may be the first time you hear this, but you don't know. Well, in the past, you may have heard this before, like Beng Lim. In the past, he could have made all this vow before. That's why critical at life and death, then only the condition arise, the Tita Wong Fu Sa Kao, then the chanting, then the wife Mahayana, then the grandchildren, you remember the video? The message to Beng Lim is Akong, not this Akong, that Akong. You know what is written by the granddaughter? Ming Xing Jian Xing. You know what is that? Ming Xing. Xing is mine. Ming is bright and clear. Jian Xing means that nature within. That's why there is another saying. Where you can have Ming Xing Jian Xing, you will develop the next stage, Liao Liao Jian Xing. Means the Bodhisattva way. There is this third stage of Bohemian development, where you illuminate your nature. the Bodhi mind that illuminate that pure nature. That is the Liao Liao Jian Xing. Ming Xing Jian Xing could be a glimpse. But good enough. Cessation of form and mind. Realization of the true mind, that nature. And that is the one that is Pu Sen Pu Mian. No arising, no ceasing. Like what is described in the Heart Sutta, the unconditioned. So all this, when you understand, you develop wisdom in a different different aspect, understand? Or there's a better word, I think, in a different manner, completely different from what you used to hear or read about. Because the basic teaching of the Theravada, they don't touch on all this. They don't have that Bodhisattva way. The Bodhisattva way got a lot of very, very beautiful and very difficult to comprehend type of beings and cultivation. But when you go into this cultivation, this field, you will understand and you will rejoice. And it's so beautiful. Okay? Yeah. What's the time now? 3 o'clock, yeah. Oh, we have to end. Huh? We have to go to the next topic. Okay, we stop here. Okay, so 1.2 finish. Huh? Okay, so now is meditation. Huh? Okay, I will set the alarm for 1 hour. So you can do your formal meditation. 45 minutes. Then the last 15 minutes is either Q&A or daily mindfulness training and contemplation. Okay, I set the alarm for 45 minutes. Okay.